Hello, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap-Up Podcast, where today we're not talking about the Masked Singer. In a turn of events, who would have thought this was going to happen? What a way to end 2020. We're here to talk about the Masked Dancer. We make promises that we keep here on this podcast. So we're here to talk about the premiere of The Masked Dancer, everything that went on there, what we think about it, and all the stuff in between. I am your host, Puya, the breakdancing cardboard Zanvakili. And of course, as always, I'm not here alone. I've got my partner in crime ready to talk about all the things here with me. It's Liana, the tap shoes Boris. Liana, how are you doing today?
I'm just tippity tapping in all the way to this podcast, ready to talk about the Masked Dancer. This was something that, have I been a little down on? Maybe. Is it a perfect show? No. But I had a lot of fun watching it, and it definitely got me hyped. They opened with the CNC Music Factory of Everybody Dance Now, and that's kind of how I feel now. I'm about to dance.
Yeah, it was. This is interesting because, like, to me, when we heard that they're going to release The Masked Dancer, I thought, well, here's an ambitious project. How is this going to work? Like, I don't think it's going to be. It doesn't. Like, there's no voice to follow. There's no sit. Like, how is this going to happen? I don't really know anyone's dancing abilities. But this is very clearly a show that's not meant to be taken seriously. Not that The Masked Singer is, but I think we found a show that's supposed to be taken less seriously than The Masked Singer. So. It was to what I expected. I had fun, and that's all I really cared about, was having fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely was fun. I definitely wanted to dance along, and it's great. They weren't great dancers. I'm not a great dancer, so it kind of just like fits. It was weird. I'm not gonna lie. And we cover The Masked Singer, which is weird. This was very weird.
Yes.
It reminded me almost of like a children's television show of like, what on earth am I watching? But there's something super captivating about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing for me is that it's just incredible when you think about who is behind these masks, who have they got on. So like to quickly give you the rap sheet for this season, it's 10 contestants. So obviously a smaller group than a Masked Singer season would have. But in this group, Liana, we have, and I'm quoting, contestants have sold more than 38 million albums, 20 Emmy Awards, 20 Grammy noms, 10 World Dancing titles, 5 New York Times best-selling author titles, 4 Olympic gold medals, and 3 appearances in Broadway shows.
And that's impressive.
I mean, you look at that wall of accolades and you're like, so what did you do with your time in the winter in 2020? Oh, I was on the show called The Masked Dancer. Wow. Like, how did that happen? And we'll get to the unmasked person, but I don't know. Like you said, it's weird, but I'm kind of into it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess we could, how do you want to go about this? Do you want to talk about each of the different elements? Talk about Craig Robinson as the host, the panel. Do you want to go through each contestant? I'm not exactly sure. how do we talk about the weirdness? Do we talk about the virtual audience that was clearly stolen from The Masked Singer? Do we talk about how instead of the men in black, now we have the women in black who are the dancers that go around Craig Robinson?
Here's the thing. This is, just like The Masked Singer is to The Masked Dancer, this is The Masked Dancer portion of The Masked Singer podcast, which is like The Masked Singer podcast, but a little worse. So we're going to freeball it. We're just going to freestyle. Listen, when I say worse, that usually means it's better. So let's see where this goes. Right. Let's talk about the cast, right? Let's talk about the cast. And by that, I mean the host and the judges who are different except for one. So right out the gate, give me your overall impressions of Craig Robinson. Seeing him debut here tonight.
So we open with this like big musical number where Craig comes in as the band leader. There's a bunch of background dancers as cheerleaders, just like breaking it down. It's this whole thing. And that's the most energy I think we see Craig give off the entire episode. Like, I think he's hilarious. But the thing is that he's got such a deadpan sense of humor that it takes a little bit of work and a little bit of massaging, I think, to work for a show like The Masked Dancer. Like, I think he actually fits quite well because the show is ridiculously stupid. And I feel like he's the type of person who could be able to go along with the fun while still having that deadpan, like willing to call it out on all of its nonsense, and especially go against a lot of the panelists when Ken is doing his weird humor shtick thing. Like, Craig's gonna no-soul that, and that's perfect. I love that. But at least in the premiere episode, I just felt like it was a little out of place. But I do love Craig, and I think that things will get better as he gets used to hosting, because he's never really hosted a show like this before.
Yeah, he hasn't. I'm big on Craig Robinson. I like him. I was very happy to see that he's going to be hosting. He does have a producer credit on the show, just FYI, which is pretty interesting. No, but I do think that it was very clear to me that he was kind of a little bit leaning on a teleprompter type vibes is what I was getting. I think, like you said, it's his first experience. So I'm not going to like hold him back on any of that. I think it'll just get better. And the chemistry has to form with the host at some point. I mean, when Nick Cannon started season one, he didn't have the chemistry he now has with Robin, with Ken, with Jenny. So like, it'll develop. We just have to see if the show makes it that far.
Right. I think it'll get better. And I think hopefully with Ken's experience, he'll be able to
bring him out of his shell.
Bring him out of his shell a little bit. And Ashley Tisdale, I thought, was really great as the panelists. Brian Austin Green was also there, and Paula Abdul. So
literally Paula Abdul. I feel like Brian Austin Green is doing his best attempt at a Robin Thicke impersonation by like,
aren't they friends?
They are friends. Yeah. But to me, no offense to, I can't believe I'm like bigging Robin Thicke, but he's like a Dollar Tree version of Robin Thicke. And I'm going to name these bigger names and like more referential, like, when he was trying to guess who the disco ball was, he's like, it could be an older rapper, like a Coolio and a this. And I'm like, you can't name like five people and be like, those are my guesses. Like, that's not a short list. That's too big. So he was okay. So Paula Abdul is interesting because here's the thing. Let's try and do a one for one of who is who. Ken is still Ken, right? Or is Ken no longer the Ken?
Who would be the Ken? Paula?
Paula was giving me mad Ken vibes with some of the random things she was saying.
Paula was giving me, Lindsay Lohan on the Australian Masked Singer vibes. Well,
you just went international with that one.
Bro, what a unique niche reference. No, I mean, it was Paula Abdul, like, just being Paula Abdul. There's nothing else you could say about it. I think you even said when we were watching the show together, like, did Paula really need to be back on one of these television shows?
Yeah, I was like,
I thought it was
had
kind of
anyone
funny,
been saying since the old days of American Idol, I need Paula Abdul back on a judging panel. Like, who needed this?
No, it felt a little bit like an SNL skit of like, okay, let's compile the weirdest group of people. I feel like Ashley Tisdale was for me like by far and away the top person on the panel, just in terms of like, she felt really personable, really friendly. She was making, you know, some decent guesses, that type of thing. She actually has a dancing background. You know, Ken Jeong, on the other hand, I don't know what his dancing background is like, especially in medical school. I don't know. They really teach you that. But
well, they've declared at this point that a masked franchise needs some kind of like binding agent or like something that's a constant glue in all of the shows.
And Ken Jeong is that for the Masked universe.
Yeah. And I think it's low key. It's kind of the best one because it's like if you're having two different worlds of yours colliding. If you have like your work friends and then your podcasting friends, you want that one person in the middle who's funny, who can just kind of like, you know, everyone can point at and laugh to be like the binding agent. If everyone can bond over that at the very least, if everything else goes wrong, there's Ken. Enter Ken Jeong.
He though has so much passion for this, and I can never fault him for that. Like, if you have passion for something, I don't care what it is, like, that's awesome, and I support that. So if Ken Jeong wants to be the master of the Masked Singer universe, I support him in that endeavor.
I mean, 1000% here. We dunk on him a lot for his awful guesses and, you know, extraness, but it is what's needed. If this is supposed to be directed towards families and children, then he is needed there. And what bet? I can't think of a better person who should be the poster child of put a bag on your face or put a mask on your face, because that is Ken John right there. Ouch. For me.
There were this the one thing I did like about, speaking of a show for children, like it did very much. I mean, we talk about the Masked Singer is for families. This even more so felt like for families, mainly children, because this is very like Wiggles with fancy costumes vibes.
Yes. Yes. Cause like, you know, if I was 7 years old, I'm not going to be like, wow, but she hit the high note though, mom. Like that's not happening. Whereas I'm like, oh, the zebra's derping. I love the zebra. Like that makes more sense, like as an appeal to children. So definitely I'm with you, especially we haven't even gotten into this part yet, but like with Masked Singer, it's like, oh, they can't really carry a note, but they got through the song. Well, they knew their lyrics. Here it's like, are you freestyling? Did you have choreography?
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll talk. Okay. Yeah. Well, before we go into each performance, I want to sort of give an overview on like how I feel about Masked Singer versus Masked Dancer. But yeah, we need to ask Asher Bloom, what he feels about this show versus
Bluth.
You know, from the Bluth family.
I mean, he'll probably be punning. Asher
Bluth, so he'll be okay with that. To compare the two, which one is more captivating to a child? We'll put them up side by side, and then Michael will give us an answer on that one.
Well, we'll send it over to Mike and get an answer by the next time we talk about the Masked Dancer.
Sure.
So I think we've talked enough about the panel. I need to see more to comment more, but they were fine. They were fine for the first time. Again, I can't stress this enough. Having just watched The Masked Singer and then watching this, it really does feel like we're watching a parody of the show, because I'm like, this can't be happening. I can't believe this is an actual thing that's happening. Lo and behold, it is happening. So we met five of the dancers on night one.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any overall thoughts before? Do you want to just jump in individually right out the gate here? What do you feel like?
Yes, I would love to give some overall thoughts. Okay, so first of all, you can 100% tell that the costumes are impeding their ability to dance. Look no further than our unmasked contestant. Even when he had the mask taken off, automatically could move so much easier.
Way better.
And so much better. The hammerhead also was like crouching down, and it felt like the hammerhead was weighing their body down in like an awkward way. So that sort of gets in the way of the performances. I feel like even the best dancers on the show are going to be encumbered by these massive costumes that they've clearly pared down to make a little bit easier. Like nobody's going to be dancing in anything like the sun, or the Black Widow or anything like that. But still, it like feels like it gets in the way. The other thing about the performances is that there are literally professional dancers behind them.
Yeah.
So like the bad dancing stands out even more so than bad singing on The Masked Singer, because if The Masked Singer had like great backup singers, that like that would make the main singer look worse. Whereas here, you have these fantastic backup dancers, and like you have the main contestant trying to do the choreo, but they can't keep up because they're literally dancing with trained dancers, and it makes them look by comparison so much worse. Also, with The Masked Singer, even if you're not a good singer, you can still have the theatrics, whereas The Masked Dancer is just theatrics. So there's nothing else to sort of like lean back on. And I feel like there's something about that that makes the performers much worse than maybe they actually are or would be.
You need to 1000% lean on your razzle dazzle with The Masked Dancer. Really, you need it, because if you like, you don't have the gift of singing, you have the gift that like you can get away with it with doing a little bit of extra but then still like holding a note or two, that's fine. Here I really, it's hard, because I think when we saw them in the order they went, which we'll talk about, I genuinely was like, oh, this is not good. And then, oh, this was very good in comparison to what I just saw. So it's incredible how I feel like the ones that know how to dance are going to just smoke the others, and it's not going to be even close.
Yeah, right. Like I felt like there was a clear line drawn, maybe even more so than with The Masked Singer, of like, if you are in any way a trained dancer, you will be so much more successful. Whereas even the people who weren't necessarily trained singers could still be successful. Someone like the Jellyfish, for example, who wasn't a trained singer, but was able to compete. Whereas I feel like Tulip's probably a trained dancer. Mm-hmm. And she's just going to win, and then that's it. You know, I don't know. Like, it's complicated.
Yeah. So here's the thing with me, is that with Masked Singer, we've had moments, we've had elimination where it's like, oh, the song choice, if it was any other song, there'd be a fighting chance. Trust me, there is no like, oh, they had gone with a foxtrot, they would have nailed this. And that's not happening here.
I mean, the Hammerheads performance was just like running around the stage. Okay. Like that was the performance. Like what?
But it was upbeat, so it worked. You know what I mean?
It was more like interpretive dance, if I had to pick a style. And I'm no dance expert, so maybe I'm the wrong person to be talking about this. It felt a little bit more like, yeah, I don't know, maybe like musical dancing, but the, like when you're actually singing the song, like just like the movements that go along with the singing performance. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like he just like hit a beach ball. He's doing the wave. I'm like watching it back right now just to see exactly what the moves are. There's a little bit of actual choreography here.
I definitely think that depending on what their trade is, it'll give them a leg up, right? So for example, I'm pretty sure the Hammerhead is some sort of a athlete or former athlete. So they have the abilities physically to like pull off a couple jumps. Pull off a couple like high, I was about to say high pitch, but like high energy movement. So that'll work to their favor. Whereas someone like the disco ball was like, you know, needed to oil up the body a little bit more probably. And like, you know, get some stretches going because it was very stiff.
So, okay. Yeah. The Hammerhead's doing more choreo than I'm going to give it than I initially maybe would have given him credit for, but he's having to readjust his mask a few times, which stands to my point earlier of like the masks getting in the way, or maybe 1,000%. They need to like tape them down or something.
Yeah. No, I think that with the, with these masks, cause like the Masked Singer, they have these intricate costumes. Like, look, think of the serpent, animatronic, like moving tail thing in the back, big, big mask, biggest they've ever had. They were like position the mouth somewhere where the mic and like they're a lot more detailed. Here, obviously, they have to make these lighter for the dancing to commence. However, it's still a show that's going to be on primetime on Fox for them. So they need to give it the razzle dazzle. They need to give it the glitter, the glam. So they've added like bits and bobs to it. Obviously the mask, the headpiece is the one thing they've tried to like sacrifice the least on. And like they've scaled back a lot of the body. It's thinner, but it's still not like leotard and mask on the face from like a birthday party mask. You know what I mean? Like it's still a thick headpiece, which, regardless of how much they're scaling back, that's still going to hold them back. You're 1,000% right. And it does show. I mean, I'd be sweating if I'm getting on stage to do choreo without a mask, like with the lightest material on me. So imagine that material on you too. Ooh, I'd be sweating.
Oh, yeah. No, like this looks incredibly challenging.
I think it's challenging. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be challenging for a trained dancer, let alone like an untrained dancer.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, this looks really, really hard.
It does. So first of all, shout out to all 10 contestants who are about to do this our entertainment in the pandemic. Thank you. Speaking of pandemic, can we talk about the stage and the audience and all that?
Sure. You mean the edited shots of the Masked Singer audience that they stuck in to the Masked Dancer audience? Now it's like not even the same show.
Yeah. If you went to a taping of the Masked Singer in 2019, you are getting dividends, man. They are literally using your footage every week. Like, they should send you royalties. I'm sorry. They should.
I liked trying to look for when people, like, I don't know who the editors were that had to dig through the massive and massive mounds of footage to look for things. Because, like, they tried to find people that were doing sort of similar, like, hand motions to some of the dancing contestants. Like, oh goodness, they really put too much work into making it look like a fake audience. Like, bruh, just give it up. It's fine. Like, it doesn't really add anything. I mean, that unless the dancing was so bad that they couldn't even bother to show the whole thing and they had to cut away to the audience.
Hmm. I think that for me, if they want to do it with the first ep, just to make it seem like, yo, the first ep is going to be like big and we need it to be flashy and we need it to seem like everyone's pumped. Sure. Do it for the first ep. If they keep doing it next week, it's like, gang, come on. I mean,
they're 100% going
to
do it.
I mean, it's not going to stop. I'm not expecting them to stop by any means. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is that ultimately, I get why they're doing it, but our complaint from the beginning has been it's just too much. Like you're just doing like 20% audience footage. Give me 5%. You're fine. Because also, let's be real. They've done a very good job with both making the stage look great and then adding all these extra effects has really made it seem like a grand stage. So it's not like it seems very low scale, not like well polished. It looks phenomenal without those audience cuts. Like here's a challenge. If someone was to edit all of the audience stuff out and we watched that episode without the audience, I swear to you, I don't think I'd be like, it's missing something. I don't think that'll happen because they've done a good job of all the other bits and bobs. They don't need that extra.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you.
We're on the same page. Are we on the same page in talking about the contestants individually now?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do our best.
Lovely stuff. All right, let's talk about the aforementioned Hammerhead right out the gate here. Hammerhead has a lot on his shoulders, and we're not talking about that mask because Hammerhead's going to be the first person to ever grace the Masked Dancer stage for a performance.
Bad choice. So, they should have gone with Tulip.
I mean, I think they should have gone with Exotic Bird, but we'll get there. Yeah. So, I mean, looking at this clue package, and here's the thing. I think 10 performers, they've made it very clear that in this season, the clues, the dancing stuff's going to have clues in it. If you're keeping notes, which I am definitely not for this season, because we're not going to be covering it like that. I feel like you're more likely to get these than you would be the Masked Singer ones. I do. I think like watch the clues a couple of times. You probably get there is my assumption.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, things did feel more obvious, I guess, but not like I have any good guesses, though. So,
yeah,
you know, I thought the Hammerhead might be Ryan Lochte. And then you said four. Doesn't he have more than four Olympic gold medals?
Him alone? Yes. But I think that said gold medalists, not gold medals.
Oh no,
four medals, not medalists. So it is just four on the cast. So
yeah,
it could be one person with four, it could be like four people with one.
Yeah, he's got six. So it's not Ryan Lochte. Yeah, so there went my guess.
Yeah. Now I think there was like the photo of the burger and then with the alphabet soup that said talk. So the soup or talk or it's chow talk show. So I think there's something.
Oh,
there.
That's right. Yeah. Like some sort of radio announcer, like Morning Joe, Cup of Joe.
Right.
With the Cup of Joe. That kind of morning announcer type guy. He's too short to be Joel McHale.
I think there's enough athletes that have podcasts now that it could be someone in that realm. I know like, I hope I get his name right. Jason Richardson. I don't remember, but there's this basketball player. He has this podcast. There's all this basketball player as podcast. So there's plenty of basketball players that I know. I know there's going to be plenty of football players. So I think it's going to be someone with a podcast or some kind of like talk show. Right. So because immediately
from Talk Soup.
What's Talk Soup?
It was like George, Greg Kinnear. I remember because Hal Sparks and Aisha Tyler were both there. It was like,
oh, you're absolutely talk show. Right.
It's the one before the soup. It was like Talk Soup then became the soup.
Yeah, there's a bunch of names in here if you want to like, yeah, there's like, what, this looks like a cast of 10 or 12. No, that's the producers. That's not even the cast. Yeah, so that's actually a great, great call. Greg Kinnear, John Henson, Hal Sparks, Aisha Tyler.
I think Hal Sparks is shorter, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Look, yeah. I didn't take notes, all right? I was just here for the experience. I didn't realize I would be asked who these people were.
Yeah, no, I mean, and then ultimately, I had fun with the clue packages. It was nice. It was nice that they weren't animated because like the Mastery ones were all animated, and I kind of enjoyed having the non-animated ones back, you know?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't even notice. I'm sorry, I'm looking back. Ken Jonks Chiron says world class dance expert ... and doctor.
Yeah, we've seen,
you're curious what his credentials were.
I mean, we've seen him dance before, so we know what it is. We know he's capable. You know, they've pumped him up to dance on the show and everything. Mm-hmm. So. So, yeah.
Ooh, we have to talk about, wait, can we talk about the musical song thing from Masked Dancer?
Yeah. Do you? Yeah.
Do you sure. know what I'm talking about?
Word up.
Come on, Finn. Get up, Finn.
Word up. Okay, so they have a segment. So in addition to the clues and the dancing, you also get to hear the unmodulated voice of the contestants. And it is a segment that is partially sweeping the nation called Word Up. And then they play that sound drop.
So,
so funny.
It's literally what you think.
I love it.
I'm assuming some people haven't checked out the show and are just here listening and considering it. It's literally one word. They're unmodulated for one word of their choosing.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
Now you know.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Should we say, so the Hammerhead danced to Everybody by the Backstreet Boys.
Somehow did not sound right when you said it like that. Everybody.
Backstreet's Back by the Backstreet Boys.
Backstreet's Back by the Backstreet Boys.
All right.
No, great song choice to start. I mean, Craig Robinson was there for it. He did, you know, we know that he did dance with the Backstreet Boys at the end of This Is the End, called classic, some would say, to Everybody. So that works out. Mm-hmm. But no, I thought it was a great song to start. And honestly, like I said, initially watching it, I was like, this is not great. But in hindsight, it was pretty great.
This was fun. Like if we had a small child, I would like hold their little arms up and we would dance around the mm-hmm. living room to something like this. So that to me is the target demographic.
1 billion yeah. percent.
Also, absolutely. Brian Austin Green's Chiron is actor/giraffe.
Can I just?
These are the little things that like make this super silly and stupid.
Yeah,
but I love
like,
it.
That's what I like. It's not taking itself seriously as it shouldn't, so it works for me. I'm good with that being the vibe. But yeah, no, the Hammerhead, you know, got a little bit of like did some choreography. There was definitely some like dancing with the dance backup dancers. Wasn't like phenomenal, but it was actually, you know, keeping up ish at moments. There were some dance moves where I was like, oh, this is not. You're definitely older than I think you were supposed to let us know. But yeah, mm-hmm. I had fun with the Hammerhead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. You know, there's some choreo here. I don't know if the Hammerhead will win, but I think they'll go pretty far.
I mean, depending on what the next five are and what the format ends up being, mm-hmm. I agree. I feel like the Hammerhead's kind of like smack dab in the middle of this group for me. So, mm-hmm. Hey, how about this? Depending on the dance and the song, they might be in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the other thing is like, if you give me like a big hype song, but I mean, they're not there live. So it's not like the song's going to give them a vibe. So I don't know. Whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. We can move on.
The Tulip.
You want to talk? Okay. Tell us about the Tulip, Boris. Tell us about the Tulip.
All right. So I feel like the Tulip is probably the top or second top dancer out of this group. The Tulip performed a tap dancing, but also just sort of other like general actual dancing routine to Fergalicious, which mm-hmm. obviously my fave. But the best part about the Tulip's performance was in the middle of the dance, the music stopped like, oh, OK, the song is over. And then she does an a cappella tap routine. Is that a thing? Mm-hmm. Is that what you call it? With no music. And then it like segues back into the song, which was super, super cool. I loved that moment. Felt very flair, very like, I came to play. I'm going to take this. She also has a costume that seems relatively easy to dance in comparison to some of the other ones. So I think that's definitely helpful for the Tulip.
Yeah, I think that the Tulip is somebody who benefited from the costume choice, has some dancing chops from the clues. I'm intrigued by her clues because of the nods to TikTok. And I'm mm-hmm. like, this is a test, but I'm not a part of the dance TikTok. So it's not like I'm going to know who this is, mm-hmm. but I definitely enjoyed it. I enjoyed the using Fergalicious for tap dancing was interesting. The tap solo, I was like, oh, this was supposed to be way bigger than it was because it didn't like sweep me off my feet, but it was still impressive.
It swept me off my tap shoes. It
was better. It was better than when the mushroom did a beatbox in the middle of Valerie. I'll give you that. It was better than that. But it was good. I mean, here's the thing. You said first or second. I definitely subscribe to that. This is someone who I think if there's only two making it from each group is in the final four, mm-hmm. you know, like just right off the gate with one performance. I think the Tulip's going to be just okay.
Yeah. I mean, she to me also felt like someone who at least kept up, like, cause it's weird. The backup dancers were wearing, that was the one that you thought was naked and that you could see his.
Oh man. Yeah. The backup dancer definitely went with they gave him the leotard and then just the mask from a birthday party. And that's all they were rocking.
Right. So it felt like he could move a little bit more.
Oh, way more. Yeah, it's definitely mobility out of the wazoo left very little to the imagination, if I may be so brief.
Mm-hmm. That's what I said, Frank and Beans. So for her, but she, even despite that, her costume being more cumbersome, I felt like could really keep up with the other dancers. I think she's somebody who's probably a trained dancer, especially just given the tap skills. Or mm-hmm. maybe she's like an actress, singer, dancer, you know, like a triple threat kind of deal. Right.
I mean, I think this is defo someone from that, like someone who's like made it on TikTok at this point. Like there was this bowl of spaghetti. I'm looking at the clue pattern. And there's this bowl of spaghetti with like kids' spoon, like you know the spoons that you bought from IKEA that no adult should have, but they're the they're like the color, like the baby spoon and fork, the plastic ones that are all different colors. It looks like something like that. There was the mini seed cereal. Could this be someone who like did a kids comp, like a Dance Moms type of show, or like a Honey Boo Boo style thing? Could this be someone in that realm?
Yeah, it's entirely possible.
Because why wasn't it like JoJo Siwa part of that world? So it could be someone like of that.
Yeah, she
like
was on Dance Moms.
Yeah, and then she ended up on YouTube. So like something like that probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's about as far as you can get a guess out of me with the Tulip. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But I did like that Ashley Tisdale knew some of this. Like, oh, this is a TikTok dance. And oh, this is this. So like, I like that. I was happy with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Anything else about the? I know you love Fergalicious. So I feel like you're giving it the Fergalicious bias by, you know, giving it the bump here first. I mean, place.
The rap wasn't there, obviously, my favorite part. But overall, enjoyable. I think she'll make it deep. I've seen so many promos with her in it. So even if she doesn't win, she's, I think, top three.
We've talked about this. Anyone who ends up getting the poster slot usually is, you know, worth at least seeing go to distance. I feel like not all, like, I don't remember a time where they've had someone on like their Instagram page that hasn't been, you know, like lined up to go far. So I think you're onto something with that. I don't remember what her word up word was, but I can tell you, guarantee you that it did not give me any help. So,
right. Yeah. I don't remember that either.
Yeah. Okay. So would you like to move on to the next one?
Yes. Okay. So the next performer was the cricket, right? The one that I kept calling the praying mantis.
Yes, that is correct. You did do this.
They're both green bugs. They look similar to me.
I think I can see your voice all over again where you're wrong and you're not going to correct yourself and you're just going to keep saying praying.
Okay. Mantis. The cricket. The cricket also is wearing, king regalia. He's got a crown on, some sort of like medieval times type outfit. So King Cricket, perhaps that might help me remember. Ken thought that the hammerhead shark was Carrot Top. I think Cricket is Carrot Top.
You genuinely think the cricket
I is do. I do. Because first of all, look, Robin Akiva made over Carrot Top. So he's back. He's now, what's the new name they came up for him?
Oh no, not a reference that you don't remember, Leon.
Yeah. Like green top or mushroom top. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway. So,
so Duffalo, not mushroom.
He's in Vegas. Oh, there's a praying mantis in the clue package. That's why I thought praying mantis. Obviously, see, it's related.
Of course.
Anyway, that's why. Yes. He like falls in love, and then you were like, Carrot Top could never find love, which is why it can't be Carrot Top. I mean,
no offense, but like at no point have I been like, yeah, Carrot Top and his loving family. I feel like Carrot Top's a lone wolf and will remain that way. So
I mean, carrots grow together, right? Or is it just one? It's just one carrot. Yeah, it's just
you
one
do
carrot.
Realize that he's not an actual carrot, Liana, right?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Anyway, so Carrot Top picked a song by the Pointer Sisters, right? Didn't he pick Jump? Yeah, he picked Jump by the Pointer Sisters, which is fabulous. I thought the Hammerhead was going to be the worst performer here. I stood corrected. I felt like the Cricket did have a little bit of choreography, but again, in comparison to the backup dancers, like, it's just not fair.
No, when we got to the Cricket's performance, that's when I was like, oh, Hammerhead's actually good. Yeah. Like, actually, like, has a shot. No, the Cricket did a lot of, like, jumping around and, like, hey, raise your hands to the fireworks behind me. But there was literally not a lot of follow through with any choreography. And it was a lot of, if you focus on the background dancers, his performance becomes infinitely better. It just so happens that the Cricket got saved because when the Cricket became the bottom of the barrel, Disco Ball said, hey, hold up, hold my Disco Ball. Like, I'm next. Mm-hmm. And then proved us different. So I think that's where that happened.
King Cricket's credit, this is the type of dancing that I would do in one of those Beachbody on demand videos. Like, I have 100% done this routine before. Mm-hmm. I look exactly the same.
You look exactly the difference is, with the Cricket.
Yeah, the difference is that I'm not wearing this big old costume. I get to wear my workout attire.
Mm-hmm. You said this is Carrot Top. In my head, that 90210 grand prize jackpot thing, it's someone from that show. And I wouldn't have really said this had we not figured out who the Disco Ball was later, which you actually did, and we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I see, it's like, that was two on the nose. I feel like this is gonna be two on the nose, but we'll see.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, we'll that's see. The other thing too, is like, once we have a few more revealed, we can realize how on the nose the clues are, because the Masked Singer sort of started that way, and then as they realized that people were really good at this, it got a little bit tougher, because you have the added benefit of hearing them sing. Right. Like,
right.
We've talked about this. Who knows what Ice Cube's dance moves are like? Right. But like, you know how Leanne Rimes sounds. So those are like two different things.
Right. So then I think that ultimately for me, this was, you know, good for the Cricket getting slot in the middle. Let's just jump into our eliminated fallen contestant here. Right after we take a quick break, we'll be right back.
Word up.
We're back. That's two words, but that's okay.
Play so the Liana, full sound clip.
You got it. As you wish.
Word up.
Word up. Come on, kid. Woo! Get up, kid.
Yeah. All right.
For you.
It's a fun show.
Yeah, well, let's put on our disco attire and talk about the Disco Ball.
Really? Like, put on our bell bottoms and talk about the Disco Ball.
I don't know the traditional disco garb. Like, what is the disco garb?
Put on our roller skates and talk about the Disco Ball. All right. So this is a lot of standing. a lot of arm movement, a little bit of footwork, but not a whole lot. The whole Disco Ball headpiece looks challenging to move in.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of feels like his head is like his neck is leaning forward a little bit, probably indicating how challenging it is to keep the thing straight, or that, or it's kind of on slanted. I don't know.
So what I have to say about the show is that y'all really went ahead and gave the one outfit that had a dancing theme to it to your first boot. Like, that really happened. Like, Disco Ball, give it to this guy. He's going to be out soon. And I think I can actually give a comment on the song choice here. Going with Uptown Funk, it's literally upbeat. And this this dance choreography was anything but. I mean, it was. If you look at the background, as they're like on rhythm on everything, and the disco ball is like one step behind at every turn. Now I have more. I really want to talk about this clue package because. So we looked at the clue package, right? There was like there were three big clues that came out of it. There was the bone with the letter J, which I yelled out J bone, and then we couldn't figure out what it meant. There was the shark fin, and then there was the iced tea. Which literally, as the clue package concluded, Liana was like, I think I'm going to go with iced tea on this one. And I was like, that's actually a pretty sound decision. I'll also go iced tea. And then I said to her, because if you're right, then we tie and it's defense.
That's so not fair.
Because fine. Here's the thing, Liana. I have a tendency of overanalyzing, right? So I would never be like, oh, there's iced tea. It's got to be iced tea. I'd be like, no, they want us to think it's an iced tea type. So it's therefore someone else in that realm, you know? So that's what I would have done. So I'm fully giving you the credit. You went iced tea, and it was iced tea.
I know. Well, it was like, oh, iced tea. What if it's iced tea? It was honestly more of a joke guess than anything else, but I'm happy to take credit for it.
I mean, not going to lie. If we're not doing vault guesses because we're not covering weekly, but... I'm looking at Ice Cube now, and I'm like, you're going to be Ice Cube. Like, there's no
Ice Cube is going to be Ice Cube.
No,
I can't believe they didn't make Ice T Ice Cube because there's an Ice Cube costume. So then, that would be real great. Ice Cube is Ice T.
Ice Cube is Ice T. I mean, listen, Ice T was Disco Ball, so that is what happened there.
Yeah, well, they didn't make Bow Wow a dog, so
no. I feel like. There's not been anybody that's been close to that, right? I feel like the closest was when people thought the fox was Jamie Fox.
Yep.
And I was like, that's not gonna happen.
No.
Yeah, I feel like this is close enough. Where like they did straight up. I did feel like the Disco Ball's clue package felt like it was giving us more details. And then we got concluded, so that made sense. But yeah, no, I think that this was a good first reveal for them. I think that Ice-T is a big enough name that if they put that in the headline anywhere else the next day, about 80% of people will be like, oh, I know who that is just by name alone. So, and then the other 20% will be like, Ice Cube? Oh, Ice T. I don't know who Ice, I know who Ice Cube is. So it's close enough. It'll like spark a combo.
Yeah. I mean, I think I would have preferred to see him on The Masked Singer because when he got unmasked, he talked about why he was there, which is like, oh, my kids really wanted me to be on the show. And he was like, nah, I ain't doing that. Then he saw Lil Wayne. Then he saw Busta. And then he was like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And somehow he got shoved on The Masked Dancer.
Yeah. Well, then he was like, I'm also going to be a first boot rapper. So I'm in.
I'm in. If I'll do it for, look, I'll do it once. Okay. Let me talk to my buddies and see what contract they got. I want the same one.
Yeah. I feel like he probably would have, like, I feel like someone like him might have held off for a mass singer, but they probably must have compensated him nice.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. I mean, look, he didn't put much effort in. I feel like he knew he was going to be the first boot almost.
Yeah, that's fair. So I did see there was an EW article with him where he talked about they didn't have a lot of time to learn the choreo. He didn't get a choice in the song, I guess. So I think that also sort of gets in the way of having passion for it. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. Let's see. All right, well, you can start segueing to the next thing. I'll figure out the answer to this.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at a video of Ice-T dancing before he was famous in some dance class in LA.
Okay.
And he's got moves, man. Yes, I can link it. He's got at least like acrobatic moves, but I mean, the dude's what? We found out he's 60-something. So for 60-something, that was good. But also, again, that big mask on the big head, like that'll do it.
Okay. He got 2 hours to learn the choreo.
Oh, that is not enough time. Give me flipping 6 hours, I wouldn't be able to do it. Like, I need time. It's not enough. 2 hours is not enough time.
Yeah, that's so fast. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you put on a 20-pound helmet, and it's a big head connected to a biker's helmet. You're just concerned with not falling down. At that point, I threw all the choreo out the window and said, I don't want to bust my ass on national television. Yeah, see, that's the problem. Yeah, the head is heavy. It's top heavy. So I just went out there and kind of winged it. I mean, that sounds about right.
Yeah, that definitely sounds right.
I don't blame him.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. Not at all. And then I feel like, you know, good luck, Ice-T, in your future endeavors. Maybe we'll see you. Who do you? Oh, yeah. Well, listen, I'm not going to doubt at some point we're going to have someone that's done both shows. Ice-T could very well be the first Buddha season 5 for all we know.
I'd like that.
Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
I mean, not for him to be the first boot, but I'd like to see him on The Masked Singer.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay. Well, maybe. It's definitely not impossible. So I want to talk about now the final performer of the evening. And, spoiler alert, my favorite performer of the evening. It's Exotic Bird.
I like that they went with just Exotic Bird. Like, we're not going to pick any one specific exotic bird. Parrot.
I'm
not
a regular bird. I'm an exotic bird.
Macaw. No, like, no. We're just going to go general exotic bird and we'll go from there. Although maybe, do we have any zoologist listeners who can tell us what type of bird this might be?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be cool to get that feedback because to the look of me, it's like a Frankenbird. It looks like there's like 4 different birds in one.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Like, the face isn't really a parrot. I mean, it's kind of a parrot face.
It's got like a parrot-y beak.
A parrot-y beak.
I don't know about birds, I'll be honest with you. So if someone can help us out, that'd be appreciated.
Mm-hmm. I like generic exotic bird.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. So the bird is coming off very much like an athlete as well. We're being told it's someone who's tall because like that's what the judges were saying. The clue package was based around a race and the starting gun. It's a bang, so you're going out with a bang. Like that was an interesting thing for me. Best by 2007. The clue package, they kind of talk about someone who like had failures, peaked. So this is someone I think who had their best year at 07 and maybe has not gone downhill, but just has been silent since potentially. I don't know. What I do know is that I really loved this performance. I loved the use of the Daddy Yankee song, which I have listened to a lot since watching The Masked Dancer. And it was just such a fun performance, upbeat. It had the vibes. I was like, this is where I was buzzing to dance. Like, this was easily my favorite performance of the evening, and it wasn't close. Like, to me, Exotic Bird is in the running 1,000. Because I do think in watching back the Tulip while we were discussing stuff here, Liana, I found that I think the Tulip might have more traditional skills.
Yes.
Whereas the Exotic Bird has more energy and vibes. And you know me as the Razzle Dazzle fan. That appeals to me more. So I think that's why I've gravitated towards the Exotic Bird here.
Yeah, I think the Tulip is classically trained. I don't think that the bird is, but I think the bird is someone who just is naturally athletic and has great rhythm. So yeah, I'm with you in that it's some type of athlete. We talked about maybe a basketball player, maybe an Olympian. If Ryan Lochte's not here, which again, I don't think he is because he just can't be. But I thought that they just had such a natural command of the stage, and this was the most fun performance for me.
Yes. Same. Big same. I had a lot of fun with this one. This was great. And I think the Exotic Bird is in the finals, just based off the razzle factor. We haven't even seen the other half of the performers.
I mean, I think part of it, though, too, was like they went all out in terms of the... like the background the stuff stage? Also, like, yeah, like they had that cool animation at the beginning and then they had people on stilts as part of the backup dancers. Like no one else got the people on stilts.
Yeah, but like not everyone deserves or needs the stilts.
Wow.
depending on the song style. Like what are people doing with stilts on the flipping disco ball song? Like it doesn't match. Or the Pointer Sisters do not need stilts. You know, like these are decisions that need not get stilts.
I mean, I guess so. I'm not about to sit here and say that the disco ball doesn't deserve people on stilts.
No,
I mean, the cricket.
It's got like a carnival vibe to it, the whole thing.
Because it's an exotic bird?
The dancing, man.
Gotcha.
What you know about dancing, Liana? Come on.
What you know about me? What you know about me? what you know?
Okay.
Okay.
So
man, I hope we get my Drag Race promo in this podcast.
That would make so much more sense if after that break we took, they hear this, they'll get what we just did. So we get to the end of this episode. They do the unmasking is very similar to The Masked Singer. Nothing's changed there all that much. Episode one, done and dusted. So we've talked about this. We'll let the audience know, and we'll let you guys know right now. We'll be back to talk about this probably two more times. I think we're going to do one around like a check-in at the middle point of the season. And then after the finale, we'll do one as well. So you'll be hearing our thoughts on this two more times. Are you excited to see where this goes now? Are you like, are you going to be, I guess what I'm asking is, are you going to be watching this weekly or are you going to like collect like four episodes and then binge them all at once?
I don't know. I mean, isn't it, do we know when it's on? Is it on Wednesdays?
It's going to, yeah. So as of this upcoming week, it'll be moving to the Masked Singer slot of Wednesdays at 8, which at this point will be clashing with the challenge. So
where's the challenge at 9?
Is the challenge at 9? I don't think so. I think the challenge is at 8. It's at 8, goes to 9:30. So it's at 8.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So yeah, probably not. Probably watch a challenge. But yes, I will be watching the show. I'm excited to have it on. I'm excited to not have to take notes because that just seems like work. And this will just be a fun experience to get to see, you know, who else. We have five more performers that we get to meet. We're going to unmask all of these contestants. It's going to be a silly, fun, totally silly, fun, good time.
Yes. And I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm very excited. It's going to be fun to just follow. I think I like the idea of having a masked franchise that's more low stakes for me to watch. I know that The Masked Singer UK just came out and I have checked out the who the first boot was and I'm very excited to actually go watch that. But even there, I'm going to find myself wanting to try and figure it out. I, for some reason, do not mind not knowing what the masked dancer for whatever reason. So okay. I'm very excited to just watch this with the hands tied, you know, with the no notes, no research, just like freestyle it to the end and see how it goes.
That's, I mean, sounds about right. Freestyling, just like the disco ball.
Just like the disco ball and not freestyling and failing, just like the cricket. Okay. So we had a bunch of questions, not many, couple, that I'll ask you here. So we got a kidding but not kidding question from Dan Sinensky, who said, will I be missing too much foundational knowledge if I didn't follow The Masked Singer and the Rahapa?
Wow. Let's shame him. Public shaming works, right?
Why you want to shame him? Did I not understand the question?
Did I not understand the question?
I would say you're not missing any knowledge, but you should check out the Rahapa because it is supplementary and very fundamentally great.
Look, I mean, it's a spinoff. The Masked Dancer is a spinoff of The Masked Singer, but really it's the same concept. It's a really simple concept when it comes to the show. So no, there's not going to be this plethora of inside jokes. I mean, maybe one or two here and there, but nah, I mean, come on. It's its own entity. You get to hear Ken saying, welcome to The Masked Dancer for the first time instead of welcome to The Masked Singer. So that's new. That's unique. That's different. Mm-hmm. But I mean, just check it out. What do you have to lose?
Right. What's the worst case scenario? You're like, this is dumb. And then I would say, welcome to The Masked Dancer. This is the wrap up. How can we help you? It's a good place. And then majority, you know, someone talked about there's only 8 episodes. So I think that's the thing to remember. This is very low stakes TV, gang. Like if you're looking for something to watch for 2 months, they've got you covered. This show should be called The Masked Dancer, aka the break between the two Masked Singers until we record it. Really, that's what it is.
AKA the filler show till we get back to the Masked.
Yeah. Because I so bet you, dude, we finish episode 8, they're going to be like, all right, tune in 10 days when we have Masked Singer season 5. Like, that's what's going to happen, in my opinion.
So, yeah, I believe it. Look, they're shooting their shot. Masked Singer was a hit. The Ellen DeGeneres came up with The Masked Dancer, which seemed to be a hit for a segment on her show. Did it warrant its own TV show? Probably not. But you know what? Here we are, and I'm ready to have a good time.
Yeah, it's the pandemic. They were looking for stuff to put on TV. This takes over The Masked Singer slot and probably will do decently in that slot, I think. They're not really... What's CBS got going on at 8 right now? Nothing, right? I mean, the big competitor in the reality realm would be The Challenge. But I also don't follow ratings like that. So I don't know if any of these are, you know, competing with each other for any time slots. I don't know. I'm the wrong person to talk about this. So I'm going to stop talking about it.
Okay. Sounds good.
Wow. You just jumped on that really. Oh, Puyer stopped talking? Yeah, I'm in. Sign me up.
Oh,
I'm
not even gonna bother. He's done talking. Oof.
You're so.
That's all I ever wait for. You know, our conversations are just me waiting for you to stop talking so that I can.
Mine are for you to stop trying. To seem chill when you're not chill.
Dude, whatever. I'm so chill. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's 8 episodes, team. Literally, you couldn't ask for lower stakes on TV. Unless you're watching YouTube videos, then the stakes are even lower there. But that's a different story. So we did promise at the end of last season to do a draft at the start of this episode. We watched the first episode before we drafted. So obviously, we know half of the performers now. And we know one is booted. So I think we do our draft here. There's 9 performers left. We draft 8, so 4 apiece. And then the 9th one will be known as the audience's pick or the I'm sorry we did this to you audience pick, whatever we want to call it.
Sounds good.
Lovely stuff. And I think as the outgoing loser of the previous draft, it's only fair that I go first. Or do you want to go first?
No, I think that's fair. Do you want to just go back and forth?
Yeah, I think, I mean, with 10, I feel like we just go back and forth. I think that's the best way to go about it.
All right. So, yeah, you're up. Who's your first pick?
I mean, my first pick, we've seen 5 of them. Mm-hmm. So my first pick has to be someone from this group that I really like. And I feel more comfortable in being like, well, I could have gone second because I don't think you would have picked them. I'm going to go with the exotic bird.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm going to pick Tulip. So
easy, that makes sense. We're done.
All right. Easy first picks. All right. Well, you go.
All right. I'm going to go with there's another person that's been heavily featured and on Hulu is the second person in the photo next to the Tulip. I'm going to go with Ice Cube.
Ooh. Okay. I was really curious to know who that was going to be. Okay. I'm going to pick Cotton Candy.
Interesting. Why?
So at the very beginning of this episode, you get to see every single dancer for like a split second. And yes. I feel like Cotton Candy had some moves. Cotton Candy at least spun around and that seemed impressive.
Well, I was hoping that you wouldn't think that well to focus on that because I also focused on that and I saw that Ice Cube had some decent moves. That's why I picked Ice Cube. So it's concerning that you saw that and you're making your picks like
that. You did
that.
The same thing I did. How is that unfair? I know.
It's not unfair. I'm just sad that you caught up. I didn't want you to catch. I wanted
to have a Wow. You think that I wouldn't be detail oriented? Who do you even think I am?
I know. I'm such a dummy.
Such a big dummy.
Don't say it like that. You're too happy at the prospect of me being a dummy.
What a dummy.
You're the dummy.
You're a dummy.
It sucks. Can I just say that? Okay. Okay. So I feel like I'm making the next pick here. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to go back and pick someone I know to be decent. I'm going to pick the Hammerhead next.
Okay. Yeah. So I was between the Hammerhead and my next pick, which is the Zebra, which is chosen for the same reasons as Cotton Candy.
Zebra did look hyper. Zebra looked very hyper in the It did not look like there was much dancing there, but looked hyper, which is good.
Yeah, exactly. Looked like they had a lot of energy. So I'm going to pick energy here. It's the same vibe as the Hammerhead.
That's smart. And I think that I will say, in the introductions, they first introduced Disco Ball. That was the first person they introduced. Second person was Zebra. So next week, we'll find out if they just introduced the first boots from both episodes together or not. That'd be very funny. Yeah. I think it's funny because I looked at the rest of them, right? And I think of the ones remaining, the ones that we don't know about, right, are Moth and Sloth.
Right.
That rhymed. And then we have Cricket and... Is that it?
No. Yep.
Is that it? Really?
Yep.
Yeah. Because I get to pick one. You get to pick one. And then we're done here.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. So they put the Sloth next to the Cricket and they didn't have any movement. So I'm like,
spun around.
That anyone can do that. The Moth had like at least a hand motion thingy, which is like better.
The Moth was sitting.
Yeah, but the Moth did hand movements.
But the Moth has a very cumbersome costume.
Like one that's going to slow them down, you reckon?
Well, that was my... Okay, well, you know what? No, go. You know what? You give your logic, it's your pick.
Listen, we can discuss. I think we know that the winner is not going to be in one of these three. So we can discuss.
Okay. So that's who do you want to pick?
No, I mean, talk me through it. You said you... Why were
no,
you
saying I don't want to... No, I don't want to give it... I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away.
Well, you're going to feel like a wee old fool. When the moth comes through and slices through your team to win, I'll just go with the moth. Flip it. Why not?
No, I think the moth is a good pick.
Oh, thank you.
I was trying to detract you away from the moth.
Yeah, it failed because I'm smart. Yeah, I have a PhD in reading your memory.
And sure. Your
thought patterns.
Alrighty. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to pick the sloth because I've
seen how bad the cricket was.
Well, no, it's not that. It's just I think I would rather take a shot at the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if they're like, I think the cricket was the second worst in the night. So either the sloth is out first of that group and is the worst performer, or at least they're on equal playing field as the cricket. Like, there's right. very little downside for going with the sloth here, right. whereas there could be a lot of upside.
If we're predicting who's going out, right? If we're predicting who's going to be getting booted from group A, I'm assuming the cricket goes next. So you're right. You're either taking a gamble and it could work, or you're just going to end up in the same spot anyway, and it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things.
Right, right.
Very smart you are. Very smart you are. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this podcast. I'm sad I'm not going to get to talk to you for 3 weeks about it, but like, we live together, so that'll be easy.
yeah.
I'll literally talk to you in 3 minutes. But where can people find you, Liana, and what do you have going on?
You can find me on Twitter at Liana RHAP. Hopefully you heard the promo for it, but if not, Drag Race is back. And that means that the RHAP podcast on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups Network is back as well. So myself, Amon, and Beth are going to be talking each week about the latest season of Drag Race, which is premiering January 1st. If it's past January 1st and you're listening to this, go back and watch Drag Race if you haven't already. And then check out our first podcast about it, which is going to be with their very own Rob Sesternino, who will be joining us as a guest to talk about episode 1. We also have a preview podcast out where we do a countdown of all of the new queens that are going to be on the season. Lots of Drag Race content, both in video and audio form.
Lovely, lovely stuff. I hear 13 is a lucky number. So
it's season 13. There's 13 queens. It's during quarantine. There's just a lot of fun stuff that's going on here. And it's going to be a great time. Don't miss out.
Oh, the teens. Okay. You can find me on all major social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, YouTube. It's Puyaism for all of those. I talked with Rob about 90 Day Fiancé once more. We've been co-hosting this season together. Liana, you were our guest this week. It was a lot of fun.
That's right. That was me.
Yes, right. You did a good job too. It was a lot of fun. You can check that out over on robiswebsite.com/90dayfiancé, number 9, number 0, Day Fiancé. And as far as my independent workings, I am actually attempting a 24-hour stream on Friday, the Friday the 1st of January. From noon to Friday the 2nd, no, Saturday the 2nd, noon. Already, should be doubted. But I'm going to dream it a good show. I'm going to try. We'll see how it goes. You can find me on twitch.tv/puyaism for any of that nonsense. And before we get out of here, if you would like to leave a rating and review for this podcast, it is always much appreciated. It allows us to be found. It allows us to, you know, be out there and appreciated. And it just helps. And you'd be doing a good deed for us. We'd be grateful. I will tell you this. You know who's not put out a podcast about the Masked Dancer? The official Masked Singer podcast. Therefore, it's time for us to take that crown back. So if you could do that with some ratings and reviews and some love, you would be leopards to us and we would appreciate you. And you would definitely not be crickets to us because we don't appreciate crickets. Now we will talk to you once again in about 3 weeks or so. Until then, take care. Have a good one, and we'll unmask you by episode 4.
Bye.